we will get into the Word of God when they get over here. I don't see the orange bees. Is she in labor or not? Oh, they're here? I must have missed them. Let's see, Brother Robert okay? His dad?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't see them. All right. The kids coming in, did you? Is that them? Here they come. Go ahead, Brother Ray. All the kids here. Good to see them on the bus. Picked up 15 this evening on the bus. Let's go ahead and do the business meeting so we don't have to rush to get to it at the end. If the Lord carries us over into it, I don't have to rush into that. I have a motion to move into a business meeting. Brother Johnson, second by Brother Ethan. Okay, all in favor? Any opposed? All right, Brother Ray, will you open us in prayers? God bless the business of the church. Okay, March 12th, 2018, I ask for a motion to enter into a business meeting. Motion was made by Brother Jim, second by Brother Ethan, opened in prayer by Brother Ben Stockton. I read the minutes of the February meeting. There was no question. Motion to accept as read was made by Brother Burgos, second by Brother Ray. It carried, none opposed. I read the financial reports. There was no questions. Motion to accept as read was made by Brother Spencer, second by Brother Ethan. It carried, none opposed. New business brought forth was to take $1,500 in missions fund to be used in Honduras for any projects as needed as a group going there on Saturday. Motion made by Brother Johnson, second by Brother Brother Dwayne. I think it was Brother Dave Russell, Sister Barbara. Brother Dwayne, we don't have a Brother Dwayne, do we? Oh, yeah, Brother Dwayne was keeping. I'm sorry. You're right. Good night. Sorry. Get my head in order here. It carried, none opposed. Motion to close the meeting made by Brother Price, second by Brother Johnson. And I close this in prayer. Have any questions concerning the March minutes? Have a motion accept as read. Brother Bill Spencer, second by Brother Ray. All in favor? Any opposed? Okay. March financial report, general account, we had $22,500 in the beginning. We had general tithes and offerings of $15,900. Designated that to missions was $895. Designated scripture press was $40. There was $4,269 designated to other. Total income of $21,105. We dispersed $17,739. Of the known liabilities is $6,738 will be transferred to missions, $2,200 payroll liability, and $964 other. That's a teen bucket and funds, leaving us an operating balance of $15,964. In our missions, we had a beginning balance of $9,395, dispersed $2,675, leaving us a balance of $6,720, with a transfer waiting to be made of $6,738 from the general fund into the missions account. Any questions concerning the missions or the general account financial report? Have a motion accept as read. Brother Stacy, second by Brother Ethan. All in favor? Any opposed? None opposed. Any new business? Okay, can I have a motion to close the business meeting? Brother Chucky, second by Brother Burgos. All in favor? Any opposed? Brother Ethan, will you close us in prayer in the business meeting, and then after you close in prayer, whatever announcement you need, it will be fine.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come tonight, Lord. Thank you for letting us go over our reports. Pray that you continue to bless our church, Lord. Bless this message that we're about to do. Heavenly, we pray. I have a big praise report that I want to share with my church family. When you graduate high school, we kind of get thrown 100 different obstacles. The devil tries to bring you down every which way. You know, what am I going to do for work? What am I going to do? What is my future need? Well, as long as you're trusting God and knowing that He's going to guide you as you go into life, you start filling in the pieces with your life. 10 years ago, I never would have thought that I would have been here in Kissimmee doing what I am, where I am now. I never would have thought I would be married. God's been tremendously gracious to me. Blessed me with the house, put me in this house, to be in this church, to meet my beautiful wife. Been nothing but great. Today, I was offered an opportunity, a job opportunity with KUA to be a lineman apprentice, which I have been praying and trying to get on for the last 2.5 years now. So I know there's been people at the church that have been praying for me, others that I didn't even know were praying for me. And I just want to say thank you. Prayers paid off. One of the final chapters of my life was put in place today. And all my prayers to God.
Amen. God does care about us, doesn't He? Certainly does. It may seem as nobody else cares sometimes. And we know that's not true, but we can get that away. Sometimes it seems like nobody's caring, but I can tell you, God always, always cares for us. That's good news, Brother Ethan. Praise the Lord. Be safe. Be very safe as you climb up those electrical poles. And we pray God's blessings upon your career further and from here. All right, let's go to Romans chapter number 6 and verse 18. We're going to finish out this thought of sin. And today we're going to just look at, I know the last couple of times we looked at it had been kind of, heavy stuff. It sometimes is, you know, we deal with it because, to be honest with us, all of us, time to time, have a problem with this here topic of sin. But mine may be different, yours different, mine. The length of time that it grabs a hold and holds on to us is different for everybody. So tonight we're just going to see how it relates to us. And as believers. Now, if you're lost tonight, there's a penalty It has to be paid. Wages of sin is debt, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ paid that penalty, and he wants to reconcile your book. He wants to redeem you back from off of that block of sin so that you can be a part of his family. So if you are lost tonight, this here will not apply to you, but the blood of Jesus can be applied. He'll save your soul tonight. I got saved on a Wednesday night going through an Old Testament book. It wasn't an evangelistic service. It was just simply the Word of God being presented, and the Holy Spirit had took things I'd heard prior and other sermons and other people witnessing to me and convicted my heart and made me a child of His that night. So it doesn't have to be on Sunday morning. Matter of fact, dear friend, it don't have to be in a church at all. Zacchaeus was up a tree. Got born again. If you're lost, though, I wouldn't put it off tonight after I'd come and say, I'd find somebody and say, well, you know, show me more about what the Bible says about eternal life. But far as if you're saved tonight, we have been made free from sin, the powers thereof. If you would, Romans 6, verse 18. The Bible says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I ask you tonight, who you serve? Where's all your service going? It says a lot about you. It does. It says a whole lot about who you're serving. Brother Chris works for the post office. Brother Victor works for UPS. UPS, FedEx, I'm sorry. Good night. Boy, he'd be in trouble. Anyway, he works for FedEx. And Brother Victor has his own set of bosses or superiors. Brother Chris has his own set of superiors. And Brother Chris's uniform, when he wears it to work, says United States Postal Service, right there on it. I think he even has socks that says it. Don't Sister Manny? Socks that says it. Brother Randy, you work for Keenan, or subcontract. You wear a Keenan hat or shirt? No? Cost extra. But your truck says Keenan. Your trailer says Keenan on it. So it says who you work for. Brother Chris, work for. Brother Bill, do you wear a KUA shirt to work? Or?
I have t-shirts that I wear and a hat I have to wear.
I thought you all were Speedos down there. I was going to tell Brother Ethan to get his ready. What a sight that'd be up in the flagpole. That sure got everybody laughing. Made your Wednesday worthwhile coming to church, hear that, huh? But we are servants of righteousness. What we serve says a lot about our life, dear friend. We've been made free from sin. Quit letting yourself be caught up in bondage in that. You don't have to yield to it. You can turn yourself over to God and say, God, I messed up this morning. I messed up this evening. I messed up tonight. Lord, I'm your servant. Please bring freedom into my life over this here. And the Bible says, being then made free from sin. And so all that heavy stuff that we talked about over the last couple of weeks about sin, I want you to understand something. God has set us free. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath what? Ceased from sin. I'm saying, dear friend, we got to come to the point where we just make a choice. And we work at it in the flesh. I know one day I'm going to have a glorious body. But God wants me to live righteous in this present world. And we're to cease from it. Don't make excuses. Well, you know, I was brought up this way. I live this way. As soon as the Holy Spirit of God brings in light to our heart and words of, of the Bible, principles and precepts and scriptures in the Word of God pop out to us and say, "Whoa, you shouldn't be doing this." And the Holy Spirit says, "No, you're not going to be involved in that. We're just going to have to cease from it. Make a choice to cease from it." I mean, profess to yourself, "Self, you're not doing that no more. Because it brings shame to God. And I don't want to bring shame to God. I want to know who I am all the time. I'm His child. And God says, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And so I'm going to cease from this." Look over in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. And verse number 24. "Who His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Wow. Well, these are some good scriptures. This is good Bible here, and it'll help us, dear friend. Look at 1 John, if you would. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 9. First John 3:9, the Bible says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." That's how God desires for us to be, right there. We're not going to be there overnight. We're not going to be there in this lifetime, but that is our goal. We are to strive to lay down the sins and cares of this world and turn our life over to God, because greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. And so whenever those opportunities of the flesh arise, we have to say, "No, I am not going to be involved in that, because I am born of God." Look over in 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." What happens whenever a child of God does fall into sin? I can tell you this from personal experience. I'm not drawing near to God. When I'm not drawing near to God, dear friend, I am not, He's not drawing to me, and He's staying put. He changes not. I'm to draw nigh to Him. And when I draw nigh to God, dear friend, He draws nigh to me in just a sweet fellowship. And I'll be honest with you, when I'm around Him, wow. There is no thought of sinning, because I'm in His presence. I'm with Him. And it just makes a difference. I'm trying to give you an example like this. Okay. We're about to change sheriffs here in Orange County. Sheriff Denman is probably about to become the mayor. And the police chief is about to become the sheriff. He's not just going to change seats over there. But just think for a minute. I invite the sheriff over to just give a, you know, speech on security. Whatever. He comes in, talks to us, you know, about being vigilant, watching out, being careful. And I say, "You know, Brother Randy, look, I'm busy. I got to meet with the deacon tonight. The sheriff needs to eat a bite. You mind taking him up here to Checkers and buying him something?" "Brother Randy ain't fixing to get up in there and not put his seatbelt on with the sheriff sitting beside him, is he?" "Brother Randy, you going, what, the sheriff here? He's in his outfit now. He come dressed as the sheriff. Comes in here. He gets up in your car. Speed limit says 45. Brother Randy ain't fixing to hit 62 going up through there when it says 45 with the sheriff sitting right up in there." Why? It's who he's in the presence of, right? Now, Brother Ethan would climb up in there. Him and Brother Randy both might leave the seatbelts off. They might put their feet out the window. It might say 45 and they might go 52, 67. I don't know. But what's the difference? The sheriff. That's why, dear friend, when we're in the presence of God, there's no thought about it, because we know He paid the price for our sin debt. That's why it's so important we draw nigh to Him. We spend time with Him. We're in His presence. And He's rent the veil. He's made access. I guarantee you right now, you can't go up to the sheriff's department and just walk down there and talk to Sheriff Deming right now. If he was sitting at his desk, they ain't fixing to let you back there. Why? There's no access right now. Now, if you get an appointment, there's ways to go about it. But you understand what I'm saying. Right now, listen, beforehand, we couldn't go up into the throne room of God. But when Jesus Christ said it is finished, everything was finished. What? The payment for sin was finished. The blockage to entering into the throne room of God had been tore apart, and access had been gained through Jesus Christ. That's why when we read verses like this, our goal is to be like these verses. And to be like these verses, we've got to be in the presence of God. We've got to be there. Draw nigh to Him. Boy, He gives us victory, gives us strength, gives us guidance, direction, helps us out. We see Him in His holiness like He is. We see Him like Isaiah saw Him when King Uzziah died. Holy. Isaiah said, woe is... Can you imagine the great prophet Isaiah? I mean, he was a man of God. He said, woe is me, because I'm a man of undone lips. I mean, he recognized. And boy, I tell you, when you get in the presence of God, you'll be like Peter. Peter out there fishing around with his boys out there in the lake. And then all of a sudden they said, hey, here comes Jesus. And Peter said he got his fisher's coat on because he said, I'm naked. What did he say? What happened? He was now in the presence of God. That teaches some things right there. It teaches a lot. When you come to the house of God, you're in the presence of God, you're meeting in God's, there's certain things and ways that you're supposed to dress and act in the house of God. That's a good principle right there to look at. And so when Peter saw him coming, now he was okay when he was out there with the other guys. And he's okay when we went to camp. I don't even know if I should tell this or not. I mean, forget it. Y'all don't have to have left the last 10 years. It's okay. Anyway, I was on the other side of the bunk. We was at the men's retreat. It was all men in there. Nothing but men. And it got hot. I had my long sleeve shirt on. It was thick. It was. I was expecting to go to Georgia. It was going to be cold up there a little bit. And I was going to be able to, you know, not sweat. Just thinking about it made me sweat right now. I broke out and sweat. Anyway, I'm around the corner over there. And I pulled my shirt off. I'm going to change it. And I'm standing there getting dressed. And Caleb come over and talk to me. And I'm there. And you could tell he kept his eyes. You know, he's tall anyway. Caleb's way up here. Every time you see him, he's going to hug me. He kept his eyes straight ahead. Like, and he looked down, he'd look up. He'd look up. Because he had never seen me like that before. I'm going to tell you something. You get around God, your heart, your conscience says something. The way you act, the things you do, the way you dress, the attitude you have. If you haven't been around God, dear friend, let me tell you, tonight we talked in the teen classroom. The topic was my big fat mouth. And we learned that our words, just a simple little word, can take a conversation all far to the left. You don't mean nothing by it, but the way you say it, the tone. I gave them this example. Somebody texts you, you're texting back and forth, and they text a simple answer, yes. Your mind also says, well, what do they mean by yes? Just your word. Your Bible says your word like a rudder. It's like it's a ham, like you turn the boat to and fro, to and fro. And we're around God, dear friend. It's a wonderful thing. If you don't spend time in the presence of God, dear friend, it'll keep you out of a whole lot of trouble. You know that old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Time with God, dear friend, keeps the devil away. And I don't know about you, but I have enough trouble on my own without having the devil inviting him up into my business. Because when he gets into my business, it's all up in it. I mean, he don't just, you know, fool around, you know, being a little nosy here and there. I mean, he gets in it. And when he gets done, he wreaks havoc. I mean, he wreaks havoc. Spend time with God because we've been made free. We're dead to sin. We've been told to cease from sin. We shouldn't live in it. Look over in Job. You got to make some resolutions too. You got to make, if you resolve within yourself, look over in Joel, verse 34. Joel and 34. Chapter 34. Job 34, chapter 34 and verse 32. We go to God, you know, because a lot of times it's like this. Have you ever said this yourself or heard somebody say, well, I'm just not convicted about that. I've heard that. I've said that. You know, then we've got to go to God and say, God, that which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. We've got to resolve, make a resolution within yourself. You know, Brother Jim, I'll be honest with you. When I first got saved, there were some things I was doing that I didn't see nothing wrong with. Other people was like, what? Ain't he saved? Without even telling me, showing me. No, they take the scripture and show me. Boy, but I'm telling you, when I learned it, when the Holy Spirit of God convicted me and God showed me, I said, I'm not doing it no more. The flesh liked it. I'll be honest with you, the flesh liked it, Brother Chris. It's pleasurable for a season, isn't it, Brother Lee? Just sin, it's that way. Boy, when it's finished, it destroys. It destroys homes, relationships, physical bodies. Job said, listen, God, that which I see not, teach not me. You look around and you see somebody. Like, you know, the Bible tells us we're supposed to follow others as they follow Christ. He said, Lord, I've been seeing how Brother Borges walks around and handles himself. If I'm not doing things that are right by God, and his testimony is right about that, and it's not just a preference, Lord, show me. And when the Lord shows you, say, okay, all right, I see. I'm not doing that no more. Now, there's some preferences. There's nothing wrong. Everybody's got them. Everybody's got their own preference, how they want to do this or do that. Comb your hair to the right, down the middle. How many of you growing up used to comb your hair down the middle? Part it right down the middle like you got an arrow shot through the head. Yeah. Brother Randy, I'm just trying to imagine.
That was a long time ago.
Did you comb your hair, brother? You did, Brother Johnson? Right down the middle? That's how you want to do it, huh? Some people wear a coat, shirts, tie, church, you know, that's how they do it. Well, hey, there's some things in here that's covered definite by God. And they're not just for a select few. They're for everybody. For everybody. Now, we have to be patient. There's some folks that just don't know, like I didn't know. I just did it. What I had done the whole time, and I just did it. Then I got to notice. I'd be around those guys at church, and, you know, I was in the Army. Now we're 6 years, and we have certain ways. We had code words that we said in there all the time. Just five code words. Just cuss words. Said them regularly. Got around Christians after I got saved, got around God's people. We were working over at the church. And guy fell down through the roof. I mean, he fell. Whoosh. He didn't say nothing bad. So, you know. Nothing. I thought, man, that would have been me. Matter of fact, I fell over a horseshoe. What's the horse? You lay the boards on, Brother Dave. What the horses? Sawhorse. I was carrying some plywood and fell over a sawhorse, and I said it. Right there inside the church while we're working on the church. You know, they didn't get shocked and run me out and throw water on me and plague me and put crosses on me. So they didn't put like a sacred letter on me and say, ooh, this foul mouth right here. You know, they let me grow. God began to show me. being in heaven, the Holy Spirit of God, say, hey, you know what he says? Like that verse read tonight, man, the young man, what do we read? James chapter 1 through 12, it says what? Bitter water and sweet water can't come out of the same spout. And I've been getting rid of this. Wow, that's a bitter word there. I'll do it no more. Got to make some resolutions. Why? Because we're God's people. We're to be different. Peculiar. You know? And I'm going to tell you, Christian, Brother David, you remember that day that guy was out here working on the cement. I mean, he was racking them up. I don't know, probably about 10 minutes I was there, he must have said about 15, 20 of them. How do you get shocked? Don't. Lost people do what lost people do. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes saved people talk like that. And sometimes it's just simply they hadn't been taught by God to, hey, clean it up. Clean it up. You represent God on high. There. Brother David even said to him, this is our pastor. Let me introduce to you. It didn't bother him. His chicken steel was getting cussed out. Just how it works. Just how it works. But I tell you this, if I just, you know, hey, you can't be doing that around here. This is God's house. He had never, ever had an opportunity. He wouldn't have come back to church at all. Never. You shut him down like that if you want to. He wouldn't. But Brother Dave and I didn't talk like that. We just kept talking normal. You don't have to join in with them either. That's the other mistake we make, don't it? We just follow right on there. Well, they're done. I'm going to make them feel comfortable. No, live for God. Let God bring uncomfortableness into their life. So we got to make a resolve. And, you know, and I'm telling you this. We need to get back to a point where we're ashamed of ourselves when we do sin. That we are ashamed. That we blush. And the only way that's going to happen is that we're around God and things of God and the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, because we don't blush anymore. We're not ashamed. You know, oh, I'm just going to do it anyway because whatever. Be ashamed of yourself. You get caught up in sin, be ashamed. First, own it because it's yours. Be ashamed that you did it. Be sorrowful, repent, and don't do it no more. And go on and serve God. Don't run back to it like a dog running back to slop or a hog back to the mud. Leave it there where you hit it. Bring it to the cross. Leave it at the cross. Nail it to the cross and say, Lord, man, I messed up again. God, help me move forward. But be ashamed of it. I mean, you just be ashamed of the fact that you just did that as God's child. I'm going to do one more. We're going to quit. Proverbs 16:6. Let's look there and we're done. We've got to get this bus running. Boy, praise God. Brother Scott got him a job too. Amen. Amen. Daniel got him a job. All the boys, all the men that were laid off, they're back to work. Brother Ethan got him a new job. God is good. Proverbs 16:6. And we're done with sin for the night. We'll start something else next week. Proverbs 16:6. The Bible says, by mercy and truth, listen what it says, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Wow, what a verse. What a verse. By mercy and truth, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We was over in Honduras and one of the men was sick. And I told them the best thing to help that type of sickness was that they were to get them about that much vinegar and about that much olive oil, mix it up together and chug it, lug it down, and make sure that you stay around the camp. It'll purge it out. Well, he didn't try it. But I'm going to tell you this, that was a joke, what I told him. I don't know if it works or not, so I'm not a doctor. I just was trying to see if he would listen to me and do it, but he had more sense than I thought and didn't do it. But that is truth, what I just read. Mercy and truth will purge iniquity. It will. Father, we thank you. We ask you, God, to watch over us. Protect us as we go our way. Bless, Lord, the bus and the bus ministry, the Bible clubs. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We ask, God, you prepare our hearts for service tomorrow, that we'd be your servants outside these walls, being kind and gentle, long-suffering, sharing the gospel, inviting folks to church. God, help us to be back to our place Sunday, that we may worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, bus riders, come quickly, and I'll take the kids.